We have enjoyed the singing again tonight. Appreciate those that come into the choir, but I appreciate those that sing all over the house. I like to hear singing from God's people everywhere, and I certainly enjoy the songs that are sung, and that song is so true. Little is much when God is in it. And He is a mighty God and has been so in all of our lives. A couple of nights ago, I called and talked to your pastor, Brother Miller, on the phone from my home in Nashville, and I called to find out what the rotation was. Most churches don't start on Friday night, and I had a little suspicion what it might be, but anyway, I wanted to find out, and so I called Brother Miller, and he is ever the diplomat. So I said, Brother Miller, I said, I'm sure I'll be preaching on Friday night. I didn't know how the rotation would go from that, and he said, when I got there, I kindly asked about that, and he said, what they've been doing is they've been having the helper to preach on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, and then I usually preach on Sunday if the helper goes back to their church, and then the helper will be back on Sunday night. And I said, well, that's what I thought it might be. I said, well, let me tell you, I've got a little problem. I've got a funeral to do on Saturday, and I just got to figuring that up, and if that would make me preach 5 times in 3 days, and I'm not sure I can do too well at that. And he immediately said, now, Brother Forshee, if you need me to preach on Friday night, I'll be glad to do that for you, but I have a funeral on Saturday too. And so after he said that, it was all over with. I just, but he did volunteer. He sure did. I love Brother Miller. I enjoy being around him, and we get along so well, and we're just have such a similar background. And we all have something in common tonight if you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. We may be strangers to each other in some ways, but we have a common salvation. I would ask for your prayers tonight for a few moments as we would look into the Word of God for the things contained there for our benefit. And if there's somebody here tonight that's lost and without God, and you know in your heart that you're not ready, you're not prepared to leave this world. The funeral that I was involved with today was a man 61 years old, and as far as I know, he didn't leave any real hope of any time in his life that he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. And he was not someone that went to church. It's so sad that people live their whole life and come down to the very end of life and leave this world unprepared to meet God. Because when you get to that place, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters one whit. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, what your status is in the world, none of that matters. But I can assure you that a preacher would like to, if they're called upon someday to say a few words over you at your passing, they would like to be able to say they left a testimony that they were born again and that they have eternal life. And if you can't say that, if you don't know that in your heart tonight, I pray that God will open up your heart and deal with you as he has all of us that have been saved in times past. I want to read a verse of Scripture tonight from the 6th chapter of the book of Romans for Scripture reading. Just the one verse is all that I'm going to read, but it is a verse that contains a lot, and it sets before us the things that God's placed upon our hearts tonight. The last verse of the 6th chapter of Romans, the Scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death, the Scripture said. But there is given an alternative to that, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I will say that every one of us will receive one of these two things for eternity. You will either receive the wages of sin, which is death, spiritual death, eternal death, spiritual separation from God for all of eternity. That is the wages of sin. That is what you receive for your sin. There's lots of questions in people's minds about sin. What is sin? Where did sin come from? There's all kinds of questions that people have in the world today. We are not told, that I find in the Scriptures, directly where that sin originated. We're given some indications. In the 12th chapter of Revelations, the Scripture tell us of a war that was in heaven. And the Scripture says that Michael, the angel of God, and his angels fought against the dragon, the great dragon, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, and that this angel, fallen angel, that fought against the angels of God, and the Scripture says that he prevailed not. And we know from other passages of Scripture that he was in pride lifted up and he rebelled against God. And the Scripture says that Satan was cast out into the earth. And we find Satan in the Garden of Eden after God had created man. And we find that Satan is found there on the scene. The Scripture is very explicit and very clear as to what sin is. I talk to a lot of people in the world, and there's an idea that many people have that everything is relative. It may be sin to you. You may consider this to be sin, but I don't think that's wrong. That's how that people think today. They want to be able to decide for themselves what sin is or what it's not. But I want to tell you that God did not leave the judgment of what sin is up to sinful man. He didn't do that. God has said and he has stated what sin is in his word. And in the book of 1 John, the Scripture says that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now that's a technical meaning of what sin is. That's a meaning. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. Now we know that when that God created man, that he gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and you all know that account in the book of Genesis, that God gave to Adam one commandment or one law. That's all he gave to Adam. Just the one. Having made Adam, the scripture says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not even eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He just gave Adam one commandment or one law. But we know that Adam transgressed the law that God gave him. Adam ate of the fruit of that tree. He broke God's law. And the scripture says that sin is the transgression of the law. So Adam sinned. By the definition of sin, Adam sinned. And we know that Adam sinned because the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. And we know that Adam died. When Adam transgressed the law of God, I believe that spiritually he died immediately. Amen. And I believe the reason that all of us died, the reason that we had two funerals today, Brother Miller and myself, the reason that I work at a funeral home, that there are people dying every day, it is because of sin. I have said many times, being at a funeral home, when that someone dies, a doctor has to put on the death certificate the cause of death. And they put a medical reason on the death certificate. They write out, according to their medical professional opinion, the medical conditions that caused the death. But I could put the reason on every death certificate that has ever been issued. I could put it on there. It's sin. It is sin. That is why that we die. The wages of sin is death. The scripture says in that the law is holy and that the commandment is holy and just and good. Now, God gave a commandment, and he gave a law to Adam, and Adam transgressed that law, and that law was just, and it was holy, and it was good. God was not trying to withhold something good from him. Amen. He was trying to prevent him from partaking of something that would be harmful to him. And Adam sinned. And we all have the nature of Adam. Who is affected by sin? You know, there's so many opinions in the world today. They're so wrong. I sometimes wonder, where did they all come from? I know that they didn't get them in Baptist churches. At least not our kind of Baptist churches. I wish that the whole world could sit in a Baptist church for a period of their life and hear the true doctrine of our Lord and hear the truths of God, because the world is so steeped in those things and has been taught things that's wrong, and people have become gods unto their own selves, and they have made up their own minds about things. But folks, that just won't work. The scripture says that we are all affected by sin. In the third chapter of Romans, the scripture says that there is none righteous, no, not one. I believe that includes everybody. I believe the scripture is so clear about that. And it also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means to me, in a very simple terms, that sin has affected the whole human family. There is not one person of any race or creed or color or nationality in all of the world that has not been affected by sin. All have sinned. Well, if we're all sinners, and I might say that we all are sinners here tonight, some have been saved by the grace of God, and some are still in their sins. What does sin do to you? How does sin affect us? Well, we can again go back to the account of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we know that when that they sinned, when Adam sinned and ate of that fruit, of that tree that he was forbidden to eat of, and the scripture says that their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. I believe that they immediately became aware of their condition in the sight of God. I can remember, and I told you last night about being saved, but I didn't tell you about being lost. And I'm not going into all that tonight, but I can still remember the first time that I ever felt convicted of my sin. The first time that spiritually my eyes was opened. And I knew full well, the preacher never came to me and said, "You're lost." Mom and daddy never came to me and said, "You're lost now. You're up at a certain age. You need to be saved." No, the Holy Spirit of God was carried from the preached word of God into my heart. And it was like my eyes were opened. And I knew that I was lost. Their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked before God. Sin affected them just like it affects us today. Sin separates us from God. That's what sin does. It separates you from God because God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. And God cannot be in the presence of sin and will not be in the presence of sin. And sinners will never be in the presence of God in eternity. We just can't come to grips with the holiness of our God. We don't have words, but our sin separates us from God. That is why that we use the term lost. Lost. You can be sitting in a church house with people sitting all around you, and you can still be lost from God because you are separated from Him, lost spiritually from your Creator. In the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, the scripture says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That is, I want to clarify that. He won't hear as long as you are in sin. He'll hear you if you repent of your sins. He will hear you. But you can't come to God holding on to your sins. You can't be saved holding on to your sins. Listen, there is a change that has to be made in your life, and you can't make it. You can't make it on your own. But God can change you. He can do the changing of you. But it is your iniquities, it is your sin that separates you from God. In the Old Testament, God said to Israel, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Ye shall be holy. For I, your God, am holy. But here's the problem. We can't make ourselves holy. We don't have any means to make ourselves holy. We don't have any righteousness about our own self that we're able to become holy by our own works or our own deeds. God gave to Israel a law. The Ten Commandments and all of the law was embodied there in the Ten Commandments. But they could not become holy in the eyes of God by keeping the Ten Commandments if they could have kept all ten of them, and they couldn't. The Scripture says in the third chapter of Romans, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Become guilty before God. If you are in your sins tonight, you are guilty before God. You're already condemned. Your sin has already condemned you. Your sin has separated between you and God. And so the Scripture says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen. The law was given that it might be like a yardstick. When the law said, thou shalt not, and they did, then they would recognize that they were guilty. I believe that the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. When I was lost and without God, I felt so guilty. Why did I feel guilty? Because I was guilty. I was guilty. I was a sinner. My sins separated between me and God. And there was nothing that I could do because I tried it. I tried everything. I depended on everything. I depended on the preacher. H.C. Vanderpool was my pastor, and I looked up to him. I thought he was one of the greatest and still do, but I thought that he was so mighty in the eyes of God that surely he could do something to help that little boy that was lost. I depended on my parents because I thought they were good people, and they were. They couldn't help me. Mom and Daddy, neither one of them ever came to me while I was on the altar seeking the Lord and said one word to me. I couldn't understand that right then, but now I know why. Because they couldn't save me. They didn't want me depending on them. Their righteousness, their goodness would not save me. Nothing that any man could do would have helped me at that point in my time. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do any works that would save us. But in the fourth chapter of Romans, in the fifth verse, the Scripture says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Him that worketh not. It's not by works of man, works of righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I'm so glad tonight that we have a gospel of grace. I'm so glad that we have something that we can offer to this whole world, that it is by grace. by grace, by the grace of God, not by works, but him that believeth upon Jesus Christ can be saved. And instead of having and receiving the wages of sin, can receive the gift of God, eternal life. The scripture says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's how I got mine. I don't know how you got yours. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to make a covering for their sins. They tried to make a covering for their nakedness. They took fig leaves and they sewed them together to try to hide their nakedness. Wasn't sufficient. Wasn't sufficient. There's nothing we can do to hide ourselves and our sins and our nakedness before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing that we can do. Sinner, I want you to realize that. I want you to know that in your heart. There is nothing that you can do of your own self that will ever justify you in the sight of God and enable you to receive everlasting life, eternal life, nothing. You see, it, even as it was then, the scripture says that God took the skins of animals and made them a covering for their nakedness. And we understand that there was that shedding of blood. There was the shedding of blood. So the covering for our sins is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of him. We must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Him who was without sin was made to be sin for us. And we must have the covering of his righteousness when we repent of our sins and put our full faith in him. Then God gives us his righteousness as our covering. Sinner, you are going to receive the wages of sin for eternity. But God offers to you the gift of God, which is eternal life. And it says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He already said tonight, there's none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. It is through Jesus Christ, because He purchased your salvation. And so the scripture says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Upon all, unto all, and upon all them that believe. That's why that the scripture is able to say, whosoever will. I like those words. Oh, I like those words. It says, whosoever will. Because the night that the Lord saved my soul, if it cost a dollar, I didn't have it. I'm sure if it had cost $5, my daddy didn't have it. But it didn't cost a thing. Jesus Christ had paid the debt of sin at the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. And nothing but the blood of Jesus will take away sin. Sinner, I want you to consider tonight your soul's condition. Where do you stand before God? If death should come to you tonight, Where would you go to spend eternity? Would you die in your sins and receive the wages of sin, which is eternal death? Would you not rather have the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord? If you just don't know what that means, or what that eternal life would mean to you, I might just counsel you to just talk to some of these folks sitting over here that's been living many years, and some of them's coming on down near to the end of time. And I'll tell you, when you've been saved by the grace of God, death holds no fear for you. Because you have confidence. I'm not afraid to die. Don't have any fear of death, because Jesus Christ at Calvary, He gained the victory over death and hell and the grave. There's no fear there for a child of God. But if you're lost without God, I assure you that you're afraid. You're afraid, as I was afraid. I'd like to have a song. Sinner, if you are feeling the convicting power of God in your heart, the drawing power of Him, I would beg you tonight to not go on and put it off and go out of this world and die in sin. Be separated from God and receive the wages of sin, which is death. But Jesus Christ offers to you tonight the gift of God, which is eternal life. While we stand and sing, would you come and would you seek Him for the salvation of your soul?
Number 67. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand.
unchanging hand.
Appreciate the message. That was a good, sound, solid, scriptural sermon. A lot of truth in what we heard tonight. And I love and appreciate Brother Forshee. And you know what? I love and appreciate everybody like him that will just stand for the plain truth of God's word. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I want to tell you, you need to thank God that you've been privileged tonight to sit under such preaching. You really do. There are people in the world today, I think many of you know this as well as I do. There are people in the world today, they call themselves ministers of the gospel. If they can get a big crowd of people to come on a regular basis and listen to them, they won't say anything at all to offend them. Yeah. I mean, they'll tell them whatever they want to hear to keep them together. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't help them. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. I appreciate the truth tonight.
Was the Son of God. I was taught that all my life, ever since I was little.
and somebody else have something on your heart. I can well remember what the preacher spoke about tonight when he spoke about death from both aspects. I remember how I was, when I was lost, I was so, I mean, just petrified, terrified to even think about dying. I mean, it would just, I lost a lot of sleep. When I was lost, there were times that I would lay in my bed. I was just a young boy. I would lay in my bed and I just couldn't, I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid a lot of times to do things. I mean, when I would really get to thinking about dying, it would just scare me, something horrible. The night that I got saved, just before I got saved, I think it became more real to me than it ever did. I just was so afraid that I was going to die and lose my soul forever in eternity. But now, perfect love casteth out fear. And when the Lord saved me and filled my heart with His love, I can talk about it tonight very calmly. I'm going to die. No question. I'm going to meet my appointment with death. I'm just going to close my eyes here and leave this world behind and go to a better one and go home to be with the Lord. And I'm thankful that I don't have to fear death. But it's not because I'm brave. It's because what the Lord did for me that makes that possible. Let's have a song, Brother Joey, and I'd like to shake hands with this preacher tonight and let Brother Forshee know how much we appreciate him. And I just want everybody to follow the Lord. We haven't really even been here that long yet, so I just want everybody to follow the Lord. I don't want to tarry the service beyond what God would have us to, but I do want to shake hands with Brother Forshee and if he would stand out front here, and I'll ask you to stand while we sing. Come around and do that.
Number 58.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
294, number 294.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
295.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven.